This is the radio ministry where the rubber meets the road, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word, for righteousness and holiness? We're glad that you've tuned in. If God leads you to invest in spreading the gospel around the world, you can learn more about us. We're on the web at HisWillMinistry.org. You can contact us by emailing to info@HisWillMinistry.org. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord as a result of Pastor's teaching and preaching. Here's Pastor Warner.
Prayer is the most important thing we can do. It is our line of communication. The one thing that is more important than anything else in prayer is to ask. You know, we have to have a relationship with the Lord. We have to have a relationship with Jesus. And really, we have to have a relationship with this book. Mm-hmm. I loved what Sister Kathy said about her enthusiasm to study Revelation. So that's where we should be right here, is our enthusiasm with this. We're not privileged to have walked with the Lord. We're not privileged to have existed in the Old Testament time where God actually just opened up His mouth and talked. Like I said this morning, when Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" God just said, "I am." Mm-hmm. I've only had the Lord speak to me once in my life. And when He spoke to me, it was in a period of desperation. We were having problems with the kids, problems with finances. You name a problem, we had it. I mean, I think we were trying to make the seven plagues look small. At that time, at least our vehicle was running, but very shortly thereafter, we went out to one of our children's graduations, and on the way back, we blew up the motor in the only vehicle we owned. So we were during that period of testing, and we were out in our normal prayer time in the middle of the desert in Colorado. And I had been gone so long, my wife and the kids were starting to wonder if I'd died. And I was just weeping before the Lord and asking Him the dreaded question, why? He knows how human beings do that. Mm-hmm. Why? Why me, Lord? I don't deserve this. I'm a good person. Yeah. Well, I was kind of doing the poor pitiful me thing, and I was there. And I started worshiping the Lord, and I felt a hand upon my shoulder and a voice say, "It'll be all right, my son." Now, you talk about a boy that came out of his knees, up into the world, and was looking everywhere to find out who touched him. I almost came out of my skin, and then I felt this deep peace and realized it was the Lord. And then I realized the only reason that the Lord had come was because I had spent the time to be there with Him. Mm-hmm. He didn't just show up while the problems were going on. He didn't show up while my poor wife was learning how to put a motor in a Jeep because I didn't have any help and I was doing it myself. He showed up when I took the time to be with Him. Let's look what He says in Luke chapter 10. We'll start there. And actually, we're going to end up there again, but we're going to start in Luke chapter 10. Get myself into Luke, I'll be doing good. Luke chapter 10. I want to read a little story. How many people are familiar with the writer E.M. Bounds? Mm-hmm. And the many things that E.M. Bounds wrote? This is a story about one of E.M. Bounds' friends. He's talking about a friend who was an avid hunter, and one day his friend was out in the field. And most everybody in Wyoming understands the idea of hunting. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a lot of people, hunting in Wyoming is a way of living. We have a family in the Mountain View Church that if they don't get enough deer and elk by the end of the year, they don't have meat to eat. That's how poor they are. So hunting is their life. This fellow was an avid hunter. And he was standing outside, and in the distance he heard the deer hounds chasing deer. And as the dogs grew closer and closer, it was obvious to him as he was standing in this field that they were in pursuit of a deer. And he is standing there, and he watched, and he saw a little young fawn come running across the field. And as the young fawn came across the field, it bounded over the fence, and the fawn was tired, tried to rest, but the dogs grew closer. So the fawn took off in a dead run straight towards this man. And the fawn wasn't afraid. The fawn came straight towards the man and put his head between the man's legs and stopped. Now you think about that. For the average hunter, his first thoughts are, hey, wait a minute. But then he felt the little fawn and how it was breathing and how he was its only protection. But when the dogs came over the fence and came after that fawn, he reached down, picked up that little fawn, wrapped it in his arms, and he held it. And when they got to him, he beat off the dogs until they left. That's the way Father looks at you.
Amen.
You're just like that little fawn with the ravenous dogs coming after you of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to trust this word.
Mm-hmm.
Peter said, Satan's out there stalking us like a lion.
Mm-hmm.
The world has no respect for you or I. We're bigots. We're biased. We have hatred and have hate speech in our life. At least according to the world. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Alliance Defense Fund. It's the Christian opposite of the ACLU. What the Alliance Defense Fund does is it takes Christian causes and pays for the lawyers to defend them. One cause it's working on right now before the Supreme Court is a man was fired from his job because he refused to take sensitivity training because he was a Christian. And he wasn't allowed to speak his beliefs because they were bigoted. This is what's coming for us, and this is why we have to realize the importance of that relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
That importance of prayer.
Amen.
Let's look in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. And now it happened, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed her into the house. And she had her sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now we know Martha and Mary here. Martha was distracted with much serving. As she had approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Now yeah, remember, Mary is sitting here worshiping the Lord. She's listening to his teaching. She's listening to him speak. Martha's out there in the world, being busy. She's got work to do. She's got people to serve. She's got things to do. What does Jesus say? Martha says, hey, I need some help back here. Don't you care? Jesus is answering and says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. One thing is needed. What's that one thing? Mary picked the right thing, didn't she? Mary wasn't out there being busy in the world. Now, I don't care what you say. You got time to spend time with the Lord. I don't care how busy your life is. If you have to do like I do, get up at 4 a.m. Of course, you got to go to bed early. Well, Albert, if I don't go to bed, I'm in trouble. About one or two days, I'm going to be like Pastor. I'm just going to be wandering around in this little glazed daze. My wife can attest to it, the many nights I've had to stay up all night long. But no matter what the world demands of you, You have to remember who's in charge. Your boss isn't in charge. Your husband, if he's telling you you got something to do and not telling you you need to be worshiping Jesus, he's not in charge. So what does Paul say? Wives, be submissive to their husbands. Husbands, love your wife as Jesus first loved you. We have to get our priorities straight. And I agree so much with Pastor. We have to get our priorities straight. God has been beating me over the head so much about that. You know, I have a hard time praying. Tito and I have talked about this many times, about how we have those wandering brains. We get in there, we really start praying, we really get into worshiping, and zing, our brain goes off somewhere else in Wyoming. Bring it back and keep praying. I had a pastor one time, he was preaching a sermon on how to get into the Spirit, and he said, if you get hungry, go eat, then come back and pray. You get tired, go take a nap, then come back and pray. You go to work, then come back to pray. But don't stop the cycle of prayer. This one thing that Mary was doing. Worshiping. Having a relationship with Jesus. You know, the harshest words I ever heard come out of a pastor's mouth, and it's so true. You can tell how popular a church is by how full it is on Sunday morning. You can tell how popular the pastor is by how many people are there on Sunday night. You can tell how popular Jesus is by who shows up at prayer meetings. Now, this church has had as many as 98 people in it, and we had 16 people at prayer meeting, which is fantastic. But shouldn't we have 98 at prayer meeting and 16 maybe in the morning? See, it's all in the way you look at it. And that's what we need. There was a revival here in 1952. Downtown church. You know why it started? A bunch of little old ladies wouldn't give up prayer. They just kept praying and praying and praying and praying. And it happened. They had the one thing. And that's what we need. The Holy Spirit showed up this morning.
Amen.
But how many people have ever read the book, the first book Tommy Tenney wrote called God Chasers? That tells you how it is when the Holy Spirit really shows up. I've never experienced it. I hope and pray I will. But Tommy Tenney had been invited to preach at this church. And he wasn't going to go. But he decided, I'm going to go ahead and go and preach at this church. And he showed up on Sunday morning, and he was standing in the back of the church. The pastor got up to introduce him as the speaker. And before the pastor could get a word out of his mouth, nobody knows what it was, but the power of heaven came down and split the pulpit in half, threw the pastor against the wall, and within a minute or two, everyone in that church was on their faces, weeping and crying, confessing their sins. And for 3 days straight, that revival went on. I mean, people were driving by and pulling into the parking lot, and they didn't know why. That's what it's like when the power of God shows up. A pastor friend of mine once said, he says, I have a feeling in my church if the power of God ever shows up, most of the people are going to be screaming out the doors, running away. God forbid. This one thing. The Bible tells us several one things. Let's look in Psalms. I love David. David's, you know, God always said David was a man after his own heart. Well, David's kind of one of my heroes because I was reading this morning, and I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, show me, just show me in your word. And where did he roll over to? Rolled over to 2 Kings, and he told me, he said, David was a man after my own heart. He followed all my ways, all my laws, all my covenants, except the one time he fell with Bathsheba. But out of David's whole life, now look at David's life. Remember when he's trying to bring the tabernacle in? He didn't follow the rules. His friend got killed, didn't he? But God didn't count that against him. The only thing God ever counted against David was when he consciously decided to step across the line and sin. When he made mistakes, God didn't count it. And he doesn't count it with you when you make mistakes. Look at Psalms 27, 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord. Now, the Hebrew word here means to ask, literally to beg, to plead for. So David is saying, Lord, I'm asking you this one thing, that I will seek and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at His temple. That's the consummation of a Christian's life. Right there. That should be your goal. It doesn't matter how far up you get in your job. It doesn't matter how much money is in the bank. What scripture did Pastor use this morning? Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. Little simple thing is want in TBN. He's got it. I shall not want. I try never to be this prosperity preacher, but I have to admit, my studies of the Bible tell me God doesn't want us to want. He wants us to have overflowing joy, overflowing happiness. He wants us to be like David. The one thing is to desire that we live in His house all the days of my life. What's the temple of God today? This. Don't look too hard, it'll scare you. I mean, but it's our body. We're told God lives within us. So basically, we can say the one thing we ask or desire is that the Lord lives within us all the days of our lives. That's another, I don't know. That will be good. My wife knows what I'm thinking. I'll be good. Let's look in Philippians chapter 3. This is a kind of a key, what we're being told here. And I always tell people, when God gives you a key, write it down, because He's going to give you a door to open it with. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Yes. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Now, what's the key here? You're never, ever, ever, ever going to go forward in a relationship with Jesus Christ if you're going backwards. Paul says this one thing. It's the most important thing. Forget those things which are behind. You can't go forward if the behind is dragging you down. You can't build a church if within the church body there is dissension, there is hurt, there is bitterness. Because the behind is pulling you down. You have to go forward and let go of the past.
Yes.
Now, I've been in churches that literally split up because of the color of the carpet they wanted to put in the sanctuary. And neither one of those churches ever prospered after that. I've been in a church in Casper, Wyoming that had, I thought this, 26 to 70 people. Good little church. They owned the parsonage. They owned the land. They split up because they wanted to sell the parsonage, fire the pastor, and go with lay ministers so they could build a new building to get people to come in. Needless to say, that past still haunts that church, because they haven't forgiven. Before you can go forward with anything in your life, whether it's a family relationship, whether it's your children, whether it's somebody in the church that they've said something to you and hurt you, or anything, you have to get rid of the past, whether it's going and forgiving them, whether it's forgetting it and forgiving them yourself because they're not there, We have one young lady in Pinedale that we have tried and tried and tried and tried to bring back to the Lord because she believes she is a Christian. But she was very bitterly abused as a child. Her father is long gone and dead. And she still hates him and won't let go of the hate. And my question has always been to her, what does it do for him, either way, that you hate him? If he wasn't saved, he's in hell. If he was saved, he asked for forgiveness and he's in heaven. But either way, her hate is doing nothing but destroying her. And that's why Paul says, this one thing. He says, I don't apprehend, but one thing I do. Get that? I don't apprehend. I don't worry. I don't fret. This one thing I do, I let go of what's in the past. And then I keep my eyes where? On Jesus. Forward, people. Forward, forward, forward. The pastor says, if you're not going forward, every single day of your life, you're a backslider. Think about it. If today is not different from yesterday as far as you spiritually, if you're not a little bit further along your spirituality, if you're not a little closer to Jesus, the backslider. Because what is God planned for you? God plans so much. Well, this book, if you study this, there are so many beautiful promises in it. There are so much beauty in it. God has so many things. The other day, I got up early and was praying, and one of the things that's been so hard on my heart is I want to just some days crawl up to the feet of Jesus and just praise Him. You know, I don't have to, I just want to crawl up next to the seat and praise Him and love on Him and tell Him I worship Him. Mm-hmm. And I got up early and I was praying. And Paul says, right now we look as through a dim glass. I was praying, and there was Jesus. But it was just His face. Just all I could catch was His face for a few moments. And then the verse came to my mind, right now you see as through a dim glass. But soon, you will see close up. That's what we have to have a yearning for. That and those people outside that door. If we're not yearning for those people outside that door, what good are we? What are we praying for? What are we praying for? Pastor, Mary and I, Kathy, the leaders of the church, they'll have one heart for prayer. Prayer for a revival. But what does that mean? That means for those that aren't in here. See, if we take our little light and we hide it, we're no better than the world. Because we have something special, but we won't hand it out. We're holding on to it. We got it stuck under here, and we're not going to let anybody have it. Kind of getting sidetracked. That's a different sermon. I'll work on that one next week. No. But prayer is the key. And the key in prayer is to ask. But there's certain conditions. So let's first look at asking. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6:8. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Now here he's talking about people that pray, and when a lot of times we read this, he says, I'll start in 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. He is not talking about knocking continually on God's door and asking something. He's talking about repetitive chants. How many of you have ever been around the heathens or the devil worshippers that use repetitive chants, the same over and over and over and over and over again? That's what Jesus is talking about here. Okay? He's not talking about going before the Father with something that's on your heart and pleading about it. He's talking about, don't get in like the heathens are doing. Don't think you're going to be heard because you say the same words and many words over and over and over again. Prayer comes from the heart, not the head. He says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Why does He know that? He loves you. One word, love. Our Heavenly Father loves us. It's just like the song I sung this morning. He took the fall and thought of me above all. Now, how many in here right now would die for me? Well, at least my wife raised her hand. And Bertie did too. Wow, too. Robert, oh man, I feel really good. Okay, I wouldn't die for any of you. No. I'd probably die for all of you just because I love you, but Jesus didn't even know you. He didn't know me. But He died for us. And He says, don't pray like this because your Father knows what you need beforehand. Before you ever open your mouth, before you ever think about it, He knows about it. He knew that my faith needed to be kicked, and kicked hard, when my wife the other night, in her innocence, just looked at me after she fell against the wall and said, Smith Wigglesworth would just pray over me and heal me. Zing! Right through the heart! I'll tell you, you couldn't have put a knife through there and twisted it harder. You know what the sad part was? I sat there and thought, yeah, he would, but I just don't have the faith. Well, it turns out between the two of us, I think we did, because the x-rays show a calcium growth on that bone, and I think it was broken, and I think the Lord healed it. But I wasn't going to get off my tush and do anything. I was watching my lovely wife, and that's the lack of faith I had. But God loved me so much that before I ever opened my mouth, He knew what I needed. And because He loves me that much, and He knew I was going to sit there, He opened her mouth and zapped me real hard. And it's an honor. You know, Paul said, Peter said, John said, praise God that we're worthy of reproach, that we're worthy of stripes, that we're worthy of being punished, tortured for the Lord's sake. Praise God when He bangs you on the side of the head. Because that means He loves you. But Jesus says here, this is the manner therefore pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, this day I give us our daily bread. Now you notice here, the most important things in prayer, praising, worshiping the Lord. The number one thing, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Abba Father, Adonai. God is with us. And then He says, your kingdom come, your will be done. What's God's will? How many times have you asked yourself? You start to look at what's going on in your life, whether it's to buy a house, buy a car, to get married, whatever your life may hold. Is this your will, Lord? Have you ever asked that question? You want to know how to always know the answer? You never have to worry about it being the answer. It's called prayer. When you wake up in the morning, follow Jesus' recipe for prayer. Start with praising God. Sing praises. Worship the Lord. And then tell the Lord, this day, Lord, your will be done in my life. Mm-hmm. And if I turn to the left or the right, Lord, keep me on the straight and narrow. Your will be done in my life. And I guarantee you don't have to ask yourself that question.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.